Let's stand and open our Bibles. We're reading from the book of Exodus tonight, chapter 17, verses 8 through 13, and we'll read responsively tonight. As is our custom to do, chapter 17 of Exodus, verses 8 through 13. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men, and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, that Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were very heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the side and the one on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are our strength. We just love you, Lord. Thank you for that song tonight, Lord, and we pray that you'd now be with our preacher. Help him, Lord, as he brings forth the word to us, as he breaks forth the bread of life. And Father, help us to have receptive hearts that will receive the word of God gladly, respond to it, that you may be glorified. We just pray, Lord Jesus, that you meet in the confines of this walls today with us. And Lord, just in our hearts, enable in us a desire to grow closer to you. Thank you for the victories that we have through Christ, and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated. I want to talk to you this evening. I don't know if it's my typical kind of Sunday evening message, but I want to talk to you on the subject this evening. Somebody touched heaven for me. Somebody touched heaven for me. I came across this little story by way of introduction. One night during the Civil War, an officer complained to General Stonewall Jackson that some of the soldiers were making a noise in their tent. What are they doing? Asked the general. They are praying now, but they were singing. They have been singing, was the reply. And is that a crime? The general demanded. The Articles of War orders punishment for an unusual noise, was the reply. God forbid that praying should be an unusual noise in the camp, replied General Jackson. We ought to thank God for the privilege of prayer. We ought to thank God for the privilege to enter into his presence and seek his face and ask him to take care of our needs. My God shall supply all of our needs, the Bible says. We ought to thank God for an open door to the throne of grace that is indicated that I preached on this morning in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We ought to thank God that we have that open door to his throne this evening. I thank God for scriptures like Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I thank God for the sound of prayer. I thank God that I can go ahead and in heaviness, in joy, any moment of the day. My God is on the throne 24/7, 365 days a year, and I can cry out to him each and every moment of the day. I thank God for that. God forbid that praying is an uncertain sound in our lives. God forbid that we do not pray and enter into the throne of grace in our lives. I got to thinking. It is not only great to pray and ask God, of course, for our needs, and he'll go ahead and supply our needs, and the Bible's very clear about that, but it's also much greater, I think it's much greater, to go ahead and go to a holy God and pray on others' behalf. This is the illustrations I'm going to show tonight. You're going to find people praying or somebody touching heaven on other people's behalf. How much greater it is to remove ourselves and our needs and pray for others. What a privilege it is for me as a pastor to pray on your behalf.
What a privilege it is for a Sunday school teacher to pray on the behalf of your class. You ought to pray on behalf of your class. By the way, them little kids that you have, them young teenagers, them adults that you teach, you know, they need you praying, teacher. They need someone to be praying on their behalf throughout the week. Bus captain, it's good to go ahead and pray for your bus route. Pray on them little kids. You know, I got thinking, you know, you visit anytime you visit on a bus route, well, you see some things. Well, you can go ahead and go through a whole list of things that you see and so forth. And you see some things that break your heart. How often I've walked away from a bus child's door and I leave weeping because some of the things that they saw, some of the things that I saw, some of the things that I wish I could go ahead and shelter them from. But bus captain, bus workers, pray for your bus route. Pray on behalf of your bus route. Bus worker, pray on behalf of your bus route. Nursery worker, pray on behalf of those precious little ones in the nursery. Godly mama and daddy, pray on behalf of your children. What a privilege it is to pray. But so oftentimes we just kind of throw it under the carpet or whatever, or we pray on our behalf only, though we should, and we can go ahead and pray and ask God for our needs. He'll go ahead and take care of our needs. But how much greater it is to push ourselves out of the way and pray on others' behalf. It is an honor to take others' needs and bring them before the throne of grace. It is an honor to take the souls of others and lift them up to the Lord and bring them before the throne of grace. God forbid that praying is an unusual sound in a Christian's life. God forbid that praying for others would be an unusual sound in a Christian's life. There is a need this evening, and that need is to touch heaven for somebody else. That need tonight is to touch heaven for somebody else. I'm talking about, when was the last time that you touched heaven on behalf of your lost neighbor? When was the last time, bus captain, that you touched heaven on behalf of your Sunday school kids, your bus route? When was the last time, worker, that you went ahead and touched heaven for that lost co-worker that works beside you? Hey, when was the last time that you touched heaven on behalf of another? I'm talking about that lost co-worker. I'm talking about our country revival. We can have a revival here, but it's going to be upon the shoulders of God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That is a promise by God, but the responsibility is on our shoulders tonight. And I believe God can go ahead and do great things yet in this country. I'm not done with this country yet. As long as I've got breath to breathe and it's until the day Jesus comes, I'm not done with this country. Go ahead and let the economy go downhill. Go ahead and let things go downhill. But you know what? God is still on the throne. If we, Faith Baptist Church, if we Christians, godly men and women, godly teenagers, godly young people all across this land, we can see a revival here tonight. I believe that. Boy, we ought to be praying on our country's behalf. We ought to be praying on the behalf of our leaders. You know what? That's what they need. You know, I know it is easy to go ahead and be critical. I know it's easy, and irregardless of your political affiliation, I know, though, however, it can be easy if your guy didn't win. If your gal didn't win, I don't know, whatever the case may be. But you know what our leaders need? They need prayer. They need prayer tonight. You know, President Barack Obama needs our prayer. His cabinet needs our prayer. The Congress needs our prayer. Our governor in Massachusetts needs our prayer. And you know what? If God's people would just go ahead and get on our knees and pray for our country and pray for our leaders, you'll be surprised what God will do. Boy, we need to be praying on behalf of our leaders. We need to be praying on behalf of each other in the church. You know, as I go through here these last few weeks, it just seems like so much sickness going through the church and so forth, and people just kind of getting hit with different things and financial things and all kinds of different things and so forth. You know, the Ellis family has been close to my heart this last couple days, and I know what it's like to lose a loved one and so forth, and my heart's been with them. You know what? We need to be praying for each other in this church. Well, we need to not just forget about the people. You know, throughout the week, boy, you ought to write down families and so forth in our church, and you ought to put them on a 3x5 card or put them in your Bible somewhere and pray for one another in the church. We need to pray for our town, our cities, and our state. We need to pray for them lost bus kids. We need to pray for families. We need to pray for the burdens of others. We got to have a vision and realize that people are dying and going to hell tonight. Let me tell you something. There are people dying at this very moment. They're dying and going to hell tonight. I thank God for a testimony of a Rose Ellis who's in the arms of Jesus tonight because of her salvation. She came to a point of realizing she needed a Savior one day in her life, and she's saved tonight. And let me tell you something, but there's a whole host of other people tonight that are dying and going to hell. I thank God for the privilege of soul winning. And let me tell you something, boy, church member, we ought to desire to reach out to the lost. We ought to pray to God and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to go about telling people? We ought to learn how to become a soul winner. We ought to get a vision of the lost tonight. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, if we don't have a vision for the lost tonight, they're going to perish and they're going to die and go to hell. We need to get out of our own selves. We need to kind of get out of our own way, if you will, and pray and touch heaven on behalf of others tonight. I realize tonight that I'm here because someone touched heaven for me. Someone, you know, some soul winner showed up. Some soul winner was in their place. Somebody was there to go ahead and show me from the Word of God how I could know and know and know and know that I have a home in heaven. You know, I'm here because somebody touched heaven for me. Where would you be had not someone touched heaven for you tonight? Bar room? A strip club? The movies? Out partying and thinking, you know, just living it up at home? You know, the truth of the matter is, had somebody not touched heaven for you, you'd be lost and on your way to a Christless hell. Tonight, I'm going to use our Bible. We're going to go to four places, and there's many other places. I'm not going to take all either. I'm going to take four specific places, show four places where we see people who reached up by faith and touched heaven on others' behalf. You know, there's a song that I used to sing in junior church and on the bus and different things. Goes something, you know, it spells out joy. Jesus, others. J, meaning Jesus. O, meaning others. And Y, meaning you. We're last place. You know, we ought to get in the habit, church. And I believe God can do some great things in this church if we kind of push our own selves out of the way and visualize a lost world going to hell. Visualize the need that needs to be done. Visualize the work that needs to be done here at Faith Baptist Church and in our state and in our country. I believe a lot can go ahead and be done for the cause of Christ if we push ourselves out and reach out by faith and touch heaven on behalf of somebody. Number one, Moses touched heaven for Israel, God's people. We read it a while ago. Of course, Israel was under attack by Amalek. I'm just going to read through a few of these verses. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel. That's verse 8 of 17, Exodus. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill and with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses and had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, we know the story, Moses held up his hand and Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Imagine, you know, just kind of seeing the good guys going ahead and going forward, seeing some things happen and prevailing, and the bad guys going forward and seeing some good things happen and prevailing and different things and so forth. But Moses' hands were heavy. They took a stone. The Bible says here, and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Joshua went ahead and wiped out Amalek because Moses was up there by faith, and he was touching heaven for other people. He was touching heaven for Israel. Israel was under attack. They needed someone to stand in the gap for them. Moses answered the call. He touched heaven for them that day, and the result was victory. Hey, you know what? We need to go ahead and stand in the gap for somebody. We need to stand in the gap for some lost soul. We need to stand in the gap for some lost family family member. We need to stand in the gap for somebody tonight. Tonight, God's people need to touch touch heaven for somebody. Both the soldiers on the front lines and in the camp need someone who will reach up by faith and touch heaven for them. What a comfort it is to know that people are praying for us and praying for you in the time of need. I remember when my wife had cancer and going through the chemo and all that. I remember that. You know what? We got cards and we got letters and we got phone calls from all over the world of people that are praying. What a comfort it was. And you know what? I believe because the whole host of people all around the world was touching heaven for my wife, and she's healed tonight. I thank God for that. We need recruits tonight who will be willing to stand on the front lines and reach up and pray. We need recruits tonight. We need, just as much as we need the soldiers on the front line, we also need some prayer warriors who maybe can't stand on the front line so much, who maybe can't go ahead and do all the physical battles, so to speak. But you know what you can do? You can go ahead and find yourself a prayer closet somewhere. You can go ahead and find yourself a pew somewhere, and you can pray for the man of God who's standing on the front lines. You can go ahead and pray for the bus captain who's standing on the front lines. And you know, we could use the prayer warriors in church who will go ahead and touch heaven for the preacher, who will go ahead and touch heaven for the bus ministry, who will go ahead and touch heaven for the junior church, who will go ahead and touch heaven for Carver and for Plimpton and this whole area. Hey, we could use the prayer warriors tonight. Pray for that bus route to start. I told you about the fact I want to start a new bus route this spring. I'm excited about it. But you know what? Yeah, we need to roll up our sleeves. We need to go to work, but we need prayer. If it's going to get done, we need prayer. Boy, you know, there's some little lost bus kids whom we do not know about, but Jesus knows about tonight. Hey, you know what? They need someone right now to reach heaven and touch heaven for them. Tonight, all over, there are people. They don't know it, but they need our prayers tonight. Our church ought to be the type of church that will reach up and reach out by faith and pray for the needs of our area. I've read all through the New Testament, several places. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:25 about the Apostle Paul. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Look at there. Very simple verse. Apostle Paul, 5:25. Brethren, pray for us. I've read through the New Testament where the Apostle Paul, time and time again, would be constantly asking for prayers on his behalf, be asking for prayer. He says it right here, four words, brethren, pray for us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. He says it again, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16. The Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16, right here, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Yeah, Paul, we need to be praying for one another. These teach that we ought to be praying diligently for one another. Pray for the leaders of the church. Pray for the deacon. Pray for that Sunday school teacher. Pray for the preacher. Pray for the junior church preachers. Pray for families of our church. Pray, 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 pray. We need to be busy praying for one another. During World War II, a Marine was serving in the South Pacific. His platoon was under fire, and they were trying to signal their comrades that they had taken a certain hill. Their sergeant issued an order for a man to take the American flag and raise it up on a pole and let other units know that they had taken this ground. As he grabbed the flag and ran off to raise it up, he was shot by a sniper. Another man was sent to retrieve the flag and raise it up. He too was shot. Finally, the young private spoke up and said, "Sergeant, in just a few minutes it will be 4 o'clock. If you will let me wait until then, I'll take that flag and I'll raise it up on that pole." The sergeant thought for a moment and said, "All right, son." At 4 o'clock, that private jumped out of his foxhole, ran over and picked up that flag, and then he ran to that pole and raised it up. He then turned and ran back to his foxhole and jumped in with so much as a scratch. And the men cheered. The sergeant asked him why he wanted to wait till 4 o'clock. And the private replied, "Well, sir, it's 4 o'clock here, but 6 a.m. back home in Kansas. My mother loves Jesus, and she told me that every single morning at 6 a.m. she would be on her knees praying for my safety. I knew that if I would be safe, that I would be safe while Mama touched heaven for me. Let me ask you a question. Are you touching heaven for somebody tonight? Hey, Mama and Daddy, are you touching heaven for your children tonight? They need you. You know, in this day and age when all kinds of junk is out there, Mama and Daddy, your children, your teenagers need you to touch heaven for them. You know, Moses touched heaven for Israel. Number two, real quickly, Abraham touched heaven for Sodom. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, very familiar passage here, but I'm going to go ahead and read through a little bit of it here. Genesis chapter 18. I'm going to read several verses here, starting with verse 20. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because of their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous men, righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as with the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if there be 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Peradventure, there shall be 30 be found there. And he said, I will not do it for 30. If I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. The Lord went his way as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto this place. We know the story. What was Abraham doing? He was touching heaven for a city. He was touching heaven for the lost souls of men in that city. He was touching heaven for the righteous, if you will, for that city. He touched heaven for the vile, wicked city such as Sodom. He cared for the souls there. Abraham said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? God, come on, more merciful than that. We know the story. If there be 50 righteous, will you spare the city? And God said, yes. 45, will you spare it? And he could not find 45, and he could not find 40. He could not find 30. He could not find 20. He could not even find 10. Abraham was urgent. He went to Sodom, and he wanted to go ahead and see that city saved. He wanted to save. He wanted God's wrath not to be kindled upon it. And let me just stop and say this. We're very close to that position of Sodom and Gomorrah today. Sodom and Gomorrah was very wicked in sexual sin, and they're vile and so forth. And God went ahead and he said, I'm going to destroy that city. They are an abomination to me. What they're doing in my what they are doing is an abomination against me. And he said, I'm going to go ahead and destroy it. And Abraham, he tried to reason with God, so to speak. He says, hey, I want to touch heaven for Sodom. And what I want to stop and say this, I mentioned it a moment ago, but we need to go ahead and touch heaven for this country. Just like he was touching heaven for Sodom, we need to go ahead and we need to touch heaven for this country. We need to be praying for this country. But you know what? The sad part about it, in Sodom, they couldn't even find 10. They couldn't find 10 righteous people. You know, they only needed 10 righteous souls, and God would have gone ahead and spared Sodom just for 10. Think about it. There's a Lot. There was a Mrs. Lot, too. There was a couple daughters at home, another 2. There was a couple married daughters, another 2. There was 2 sons-in-laws, and that makes 8 in the family. All they needed was just 2 more. But they couldn't find the 2. Well, what a testimony, you know, and all because of Lot's poor testimony. You know, I think one of the most important things that a Christian has is your testimony. Your testimony. You know, your testimony, I believe, can speak volumes in the life of an unbeliever. I believe that. I'm not talking about lifestyle. You know, you go ahead and look, you know, we ought to look the part. We ought to dress right. We ought to do right. We ought to be honest with all that stuff. On the job, we ought to be on time. I understand it. You know what? But you know what? That testimony can speak volumes in the life of an unbeliever. You know, and how sad it is for Christians just to go ahead and they'll find themselves kind of linked with a crowd that's talking, telling the dirty jokes and saying nasty things and so forth. How sad it is. And it's no wonder. It's no wonder nobody on the job site wants to go ahead and get saved. It's no wonder if you'd be ashamed of some of them guys that you work with who you may go ahead and link with and tell the dirty jokes with and so forth. It'd be a shame if they went ahead and saw what you did on Sunday morning. You looked your Sunday best and so forth, and you went with your Bible in hand and so forth, and you're smiling and so forth, and they look at you and say, "You go to church? You go to church?" And all the while, they didn't know it. All the while, your testimony didn't tell them one bit that you went to church simply because you hung with a crowd that was telling the dirty jokes. Hey, but what I'm trying to say, Lot's testimony was so poor they couldn't even find 10. All but 3 perished in his family. Abraham was praying on Sodom's behalf. Lost people need to know that Christians are praying for them. Mentioned about your testimony on the job site. You need to, and by the way, you know what? I don't want to go ahead and be clean cut on the job, and I don't want to go ahead and take my Bible to work. Why not? Why not? Is your desire so much more important than God's desires? Is what you want to do just because you're afraid of a little bit of ridicule? You know what? Let me tell you something. We've not been ridiculed near as much as our Savior. We've not been, and a lot of us, I don't think, have been ridiculed near as much as the Apostle Paul. And a lot of us probably haven't been ridiculed near as much as maybe somebody that's sitting next to you. The truth of the matter is, you know what, we don't want to go ahead and look our part. We don't want to go ahead and be a testimony on the job because we're afraid that somebody will go ahead and laugh at us. We're afraid that they'll go ahead and cut you off and not speak to you. We're afraid of them kind of bad-mouthing you and so forth. It's okay. I've been bad mouthed many a time on the working in the world, being called Jesus freak, and you know how I responded to that. Thank you very much. Preacher boy. Well, thank you. As a matter of fact, I am. I was going to Bible college to be a preacher boy, so you know, I mean, you know, yeah, I said, you hit it. I told one of the guys, you hit it on the nail on the head. But you know, the truth of the matter is, standing my ground, spoke volumes in the lives of them guys that I worked with. Let me tell you something. You stand your ground on the work site, it'll speak volumes to the lives of them people that you work with. Boy, you ought to have a good testimony. You know, someone once said, men may spurn our appeals, reject our message, oppose our argument, but they are helpless against our prayers. They're helpless against our prayers. How true that is. You know, how often you go out soul winning. And I know some people, one reason why people don't like to go soul winning is nobody likes to be rejected. Now, I've been rejected hundreds of times. And those of you who've gone ahead and knocked, you know what it's like to have left your nose at that door. You know, hello, I'm Sean Weeks from Faith Baptist Church. God bless you. You know what I'm talking about. Nobody likes to be rejected. But you know what? They can go ahead and reject our message, but they are helpless against our prayers. You know what? You say, you know, a preacher, you know, you want to go ahead and you want to pass out all these things out on the doors of Carver and put John and Romans and let people know about our church and so forth. And every home, I promise you this, every home this year in Carver, starting with Carver, is going to know about Faith Baptist Church one way or the other. Whether it be verbally or whether it be a little door hanger with a group with a bunch of little stuff in there and so forth, everybody this year is going to know about it. Say, and maybe we'll only get one family, maybe we won't get any family, but we're doing what the Bible wants us to do. And you know what? Maybe people will go ahead and laugh at us. Maybe you may walk down the street and you'll see some of these tracks, as we often do, crippled up and thrown on the ground. And you might see some of these baggies and so forth thrown out and different things and so forth. But you know what? Let me tell you something. If Carver wants to turn their backs, and I don't think Carver's a nice town, amen? I don't think they're going to turn our backs. All of them are going to go ahead and turn on us. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? They're helpless. People can go ahead and spurn us. People can go ahead and turn turn their back on us. But you know what? We can pray for Carver. We can pray for this country. We can pray for Plimpton. We can pray for Halifax. We can pray for Brockton. We can pray for Taunton. And let me tell you something. You know, the world is helpless against our prayers. The world is helpless against our prayers. The world is helpless against the truth right here. Who are the lost ones that you're praying for tonight? Abraham, he was concerned about the lost. He was concerned about Sodom. And who are the lost ones are you praying for tonight? Don't give up on them. Don't think that they're too bad to get saved. You know, you are too. You are. You know why? Because our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Amen. You know, and oftentimes we say, well, you know, preacher, you know what? You know, how often, you know, I've had people, especially in the apartment building, you don't want to go to that door. You don't really want to go to, you know what? They just went ahead and they just fueled my fire. I'm going to that door. You know, I've had people say, you know, you don't want to go to that door. I remember in Chicago, I was visiting and so forth, and I was kind of in a rough part of town. I was like a third floor building there, and I was knocking on doors, and I heard the screaming, I heard the yelling, I heard everything that you could ever hear, the music and the babies crying and the husband and wife kind of going back and forth. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and knock on, you know, and my sober partner, who was a green partner, I used to be green, but he was very young at the time. He says, you know, Brother Sean, you sure? Yeah, I want to go to that door. And I went ahead and knocked on that door. Hey, you know, and he says, hey, Brother Sean, you know, I don't, you know, you hear what they're saying, and they're cussing, they're, you know, it's okay, we're going to go, you know what, they're the ones that need Jesus, amen. And I go ahead and I knocked on that door, and I knocked on that door, and I knocked, you know, I had to literally beat on that. I was going to make sure I wanted to get in that house. I really did. And you know what, all of a sudden, no joke, as sure as I'm standing here, the door opened, and this big old guy. I mean, I thought, and you know what? And my sewing part later said, I told you so. You know, that's what he told me after. But you know what? I went in there with all the confidence that God could give me. I shook this big burly guy's hand. I mean, he was tattooed. He was a biker dude, literally. And I went ahead and shook his hand. And I said, listen, I'm Sean Weeks from the First Baptist Church of Hammond. I'm out visiting. I'm just wanting you to know about Jesus. And I asked you, if you'd die today, do you know 100% sure you'd go to heaven? Let me tell you something, and most would think, you know what, most would think, well, he must have responded, he must have slammed the door on you. You know what? What I had was the very thing that they needed. What I had was a very, you know, I got to go in there, and I got to sit down at the table with his wife and with him and just open up the Word of God and show them how to be saved, and they prayed, and they asked Jesus into their heart. They're the very ones that need it. You may think that, well, you don't want to go to that door. You know what? That's the very house that needs it. You know, you might have a neighbor go ahead and tell you, if you're out sowing and sowing, let me just give you a little bit of advice here. You know what? Don't go ahead and reject the doors that somebody tells you not to go to. Because I promise you, and I've had it happen, I promise you, you may very well get some positive results. Hey, who are the lost that you're praying for tonight? Who are you touching heaven for tonight? You keep on praying for the lost in your town. You keep on praying for the lost in your family. You keep on praying, and God will honor your prayers. Don't you give up on praying for others. You know, a certain Scottish man who had lived a very worldly life was going over the records left by his father, a very wealthy man who had just passed away. He noticed that his father had given large sums of money to an orphanage operated by George Mueller. He decided that his father might want to continue to give to that work, so he decided to pay them a visit one day. And it just so happened that when he got there, there was a revival meeting going on for the boys and girls in the home. He sat there and listened to the sermon and was convicted of his sins. He came to Jesus that day and was saved. And when he stood to give testimony of his conversion, the workers in that home were not surprised. They said, for 38 years... And if you've ever read the life of George Mueller, this is exactly him in a nutshell. For 38 years, George Mueller did not cease to pray for you every day. Talk about the rich daddy going ahead and giving money to his orphanages and so forth for the work of the Lord to be carried on. And George Mueller, who was a man of faith, who prayed, I tell you, amazing, amazing prayer warrior. And for 38 years, George Mueller prayed for this son, for him to be saved. Hey, don't give up. I love this story.
If you ever heard old Mays Jackson preach, I'm telling you, he's a preacher. And I'm going to just read a verse that he was preaching on that night to kind of give you a context of this illustration. Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Mays Jackson was preaching a certain meeting. It was a week-long meeting. And he was using that text, Matthew 18:19. He said that after the service, a little boy, a little seven-year-old boy, came up to him at the door and asked him if he really believed that verse. Brother Mays said, sure I do. Oh, yes, lad, I believe in that verse. Well, that little boy proceeded to tell him that his dad had abandoned him and his mother for a life of drink and women. He said that he had not seen or heard from his daddy since he had left. He told the preacher that he wanted to see his daddy saved more than anything in the world. He asked Brother Mays during that week to covenant with him and claim that verse to see his daddy saved. But he wanted to claim that verse and believe that God would save daddy before the meeting ended that Friday night. Brother Mays said he was ashamed to admit to the little boy that he had his doubts. But he agreed to agree with the little boy that his daddy would come to Jesus that week. Well, Brother Mays said that every night while he preached, that little boy sat on the front row and said, and cried out, Matthew 18:19, Matthew 18:19, Matthew 18:19. He would come back, he would come by at the back door where Brother Mays would greet the folks as they left and say, Matthew 18:19, preacher, Matthew 18:19, preacher, my daddy's going to be saved. Brother Mays said the whole thing made him nervous, and he was afraid that the little boy was going to be very disappointed by the end of the week. And days went by, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, no sign of his daddy coming in, and it was Friday evening, and Brother Mays was saying, you know, he literally told the preacher, when he got up on the platform to preach, he says, I want a car waiting for me at the back door because I want to slip off at invitation time. Literally, he said that. Brother Mays said he was ashamed to admit to the little boy that he had his doubts. Well, Friday evening came, and there had been no sign of the boy's daddy. As Brother Mays preached that night, the little boy waved his Bible in the air and said, Matthew 18:19, Matthew 18:19, Matthew 18:19, over and over. Then as the service was ending, and they were about to be dismissed, a man entered the door, the back of the church. That little boy looked around and said, that's my daddy. The man came down the aisle, took his estranged wife by the hand, came by and grabbed his little boy, and fell on the altar, repented of his sins that night, and got saved. Don't ever give up. Brother Mays, all week long, he says, you know, I prayed. You don't know, I couldn't sleep all week long. I couldn't sleep. I mean, all I could think of is that little boy. Every time I closed my eyes, all I could think of was that little boy crying, Matthew 18:19. And he prayed all week. You know, I got thinking, I'm glad that people didn't give up on me. I'm glad that someone touched heaven for me, aren't you? Moses touched heaven for Israel. Abraham touched heaven for Sodom. And Hezekiah touched heaven for the sufferers of Jerusalem. Second Kings. Chapter 19. Just kind of give you a little bit of the context of the verses here. I'm not going to read all these scriptures due to time. But Jerusalem here is threatened by Sennacherib, the king of Assyria. And if he is allowed to attack the people of Jerusalem, the people of Jerusalem would suffer brutality and untold trials, unbelievable trials. And King Hezekiah, a godly king, turns to God in prayer in Matthew 19, verses 14. I'm going to read this prayer that Hezekiah prayed. And Hezekiah, a godly king now, mind you, received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before God and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations in their lands and have cast their gods
gods into the fire, and they were for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands. Wood and stone, therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, I beg thee, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, and all the kingdom of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. You know what? There was a man of God. There was a king. There was a godly king who cared so much for the people of Jerusalem, and he knew that they would suffer unbelievable trials and unbelievable brutality. And Sennacherib gone ahead and prevailed, and he went ahead and he prayed out to God, and he touched heaven for the sufferers of Jerusalem. He went ahead and he touched heaven, and the angel, the Bible says that God heard him. He answers him and moves in power. The angel of the Lord comes down and kills 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night, and Sennacherib was killed by his own kin. God spared the people of Jerusalem because one man went ahead and touched heaven for the people of Jerusalem. You know, God might just salvage our nation if one man, I'm just talking about just one man, if one man would just keep me pulled out of the auditorium, out of the crowd tonight, say, you know what, I want to touch heaven for my country. I want to touch heaven for my church. I want to touch heaven for my school. I want to touch heaven for my family. If one lady would go ahead and reach out and say, I want to touch heaven for my son. I want to touch heaven for my daughters. I want to touch heaven for somebody. If one teenager, and don't you think in the world that teenagers can't be used of God, if one teenager would say, I want to be a prayer warrior, I want to touch heaven for somebody, boy, you'd be amazed what some sacrifice and prayer might do to this nation. God might just give us a revival in our nation if we would just pray and get right, if we just decide to get out of ourselves and pray on others' behalf. God might just give us a harvest, as our theme says, a year of the harvest for souls in our town, right here in our Jerusalem, Carver and Plymouth and Halifax and Taunton and Brockton and Plimpton and Wareham. If we can get a group of people with a godly vision and just pray. And just pray. Boy, we need to have a personal ministry of prayer, touching heaven for somebody. But we got to get out of our comfort zone. It may require a little extra time away from the TV. It may require a little extra time away from your family even. And I'm not, you know, it might be just good to just get your family and just pray. But maybe a time that you just got to set aside and pray on the behalf of a nation that's going to hell, and pray on the behalf of a world that's going to hell, and pray on behalf of a town that's going to hell without Jesus, and pray on behalf of a coworker or somebody. You know, I mentioned earlier in our church here, I know there's some of you going through the valley, going through some tough times. I've caught some of your tears. You've suffered maybe a death of a loved one, as the Ellis family have. You've lost your job. You've got a health issue. Church, you know what? We need to touch heaven for someone tonight. Boy, we ought to touch heaven for each other tonight in our church. You know, when Dwight Eisenhower, I got another illustration here. When Dwight Eisenhower was a little boy, he was afflicted with polio. The doctors told his mother, a devout Christian, that he might never walk again. The mother refused to believe the word that the doctors said and threw herself across the sick body of her son. She began to call upon God. She said, Lord, you didn't send this boy here for him to be a cripple. You sent him into this world for a great purpose. Touch him and deliver him. Guess what? God delivered him. He became one of the greatest presidents. He was the great architect and leader of D-Day, of the D-Day invasion of Normandy that signaled the turning tide of World War II. Because of Mama. Because of Mama. Reached heaven. Touched heaven. For her son. Moses touched heaven for Israel. Abraham touched heaven for Sodom. Hezekiah touched heaven for the hurting in Jerusalem. And guess what? Jesus touched heaven for us. Amen. Luke chapter 23, our last verse of the evening.
Very familiar verse, but I want to read it. Verses 34. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. He cries out, "Father," and all the pain that any man suffered, hanging on that cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Perhaps the greatest prayer ever prayed. I think for a moment what's happening in heaven at this particular time. I think of a father who loved his son so very much, watching his son die. God the Father, he had to turn his back on his very own son while his son dipped his soul into the pit of hell because God could not look upon that. And I think of his father watching his son die, and I can imagine the angels, they just kind of biting their lips saying, "God, come on, let us go ahead and go rescue, let's go rescue him." You know, Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and have set him free, but he died alone on that cross because he touched heaven for you tonight. I'm glad that he stayed on that cross. I know that he went through pain and suffering. We have a blessed Lamb of God because he stayed on that cross. And we know the stories of the crown of thorns and the beard plucked out and the being spat upon and the soldiers crying out and the people crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." But because he stayed on that cross, because God went ahead and restrained him and said, "No, angels, he's got to stay on that cross. He's fulfilling all righteousness. He's dying for the lost world." And we have a blessed Lamb tonight, a Lamb who gave his life for you in this world. He touched heaven for you. He lifted up his voice to his tormentors, praying on their behalf while the tormentors would mock him and scourge him. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What grace, what matchless grace, what love that Jesus could touch heaven for the very ones who hated him and hung him on that cross. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually thanked God for delivering you tonight? It's been a while, hasn't it? Boy, it'd be good to see this just people surge out of their seats later on just because it's been a while that you just got on your face and, "God, thank you for your salvation." Church, teenager, when was the last time you asked, you thank God for your salvation? Mom and Daddy, when was the last time you thank God for your salvation? Church member, when was the last time you thank God for your salvation? Jesus went through so much. Well, we ought to thank God that he hung on that cross. We ought to thank God that he touched heaven for us. They went ahead and laid him in a tomb. And I love this. Satan thought he had him. Satan thought he had him. Satan thought he won. Satan thought, "Boy, he's down now." But guess what, devil? You lose. You lose. Because up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever, forever, forever with his saints to reign. He arose tonight. He arose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ arose. You excited about your salvation tonight? Hey, you know what? Jesus, he touched heaven for you. And had he not, we'd be all doomed for hell tonight. He touched heaven for you. He lives today, devil. You may have thought you won, but you lost. I know he lives within my heart. Boy, thank God that he touched heaven for you and for me. A lot of lessons we could learn from the Word of God tonight of people touching heaven on behalf of others. But church, we need to be a church that's praying and touching heaven on behalf of the lost, on behalf of other people, on behalf of that ailing church member that's hurting. Well, we ought to be praying for one another, church. We ought to be praying for each other. But we can learn some vital lessons from a man like Moses. We can learn some vital lessons from a man like Abraham. We can learn some vital lessons from a man like Hezekiah. Yeah, we can learn a lot of lessons from Jesus Christ because they touched heaven for somebody. You know, I Church knows my vision. I've tried to present my vision here. But you know, in order for some of the things to happen, church, we got to touch heaven for somebody. We got to touch heaven for somebody. How about you? Won't you touch heaven for someone tonight, church? How about that Sunday school class? Do you take that roster out, that list out, jot down the names and pray for them throughout the week? Boy, them kids, them teenagers, them adults need your prayer. How about that bus route? How about your children? How about your preacher? How about your deacons? They need it. We can laugh there. Your deacon needs it, amen? He's not here. How about your spouse? And how about the lost souls? Moses touched heaven for Israel. Abraham touched heaven for Sodom. Hezekiah touched heaven for the sufferers of Jerusalem. And Jesus, thank God, touched heaven for you. Why not touch heaven for somebody else? Because someone touched heaven for you, our Heavenly Father. God, the very best I could, I gave all I could. The clearest way I possibly could, Lord, I gave. I want us to be a praying church. I want us to be a church that's concerned about the lost around here. I know, Lord, there's a whole area dying, going to hell tonight, and it moves me to no end knowing that. I pray, dear God, as we go forward here at Faith Baptist Church, that we'll have a vision of that. But I know for the work to be done, a lot of prayer has to go into it. I pray, dear God, that we would be willing to be a church member, be a Christian that'll touch heaven on behalf of somebody else. I pray, dear God, that we'd be grateful for our salvation. Boy, I know sometimes it's so easy that we just kind of really get up each and every day and we forget to say, God, thank you. Thank you, God, for your salvation. Thank you, God, for all that you went through and all that your son went through so that I can be with you one day. Oh, God, help us to be thankful for your salvation. But God, help us to be mindful and pray on the behalf of others. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm not sure how to give an invitation tonight, but we're just going to stand to our feet. Maybe God's spoken to your heart. Maybe God just spoke to you about reaching out, touching heaven for somebody, that coworker, that class, or whatever the case may be. God's speaking to your heart. The music's going to play. Won't you do business tonight?